Kalski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Would you imagine ever news that's being repeated by a few different sources? Apparently, Martin Luther King's niece, she claims she voted for Trump. What a strange world. And in spite of all these various tit-for-tats back and forth with Lewis and others, Trump did meet today with Martin Luther King Jr., and apparently it was a positive meeting. So there it is. There it is. Happy Martin Luther King Day, one and all. Well, looky here. Did you hear, this is a slightly different topic here, Obama, he just can't get out of his way. He was talking in an interview and talking about how what he wished he would have done. And he said, "I wish I could have had a greater impact on the Democratic Party." Now, I heard that, of course, and I just about fell out of my chair because that's right. He's had a hell of an impact on the Democratic Party. No joke. In the time that Obama has been president, he's decimated the Democratic Party. They've lost. It's not just about the presidency. That's not all on him, but it is a repudiation of the Obama era. But the Democrats have lost 1,000 seats, over 1,000 seats. In the Senate, the House, governorships, state legislatures. I mean, there are blue states that are turning red. And so, that naturally brings me to this thought, not just about Obama, but now I'm thinking about California. Because what does this mean for us? Could we see some effect from this degradation of the Democratic Party? And how can that play out here? And the next big race, of course, that's coming up here in California is the governorship is up for grabs. And I say up for grabs because come November 2018, which will be here, I think, in basically a hot minute. What do we got? We got a wide open field. I mean, the incumbents out. Governor Moonbeam is gone. And so now we're going to have, there are people already lining up. And that's what the big news was, of course, over the weekend, was that Peter Thiel, the prominent investor, co-founder of PayPal, also was an early investor in Facebook. A lot of people don't know this. He might actually still be a Facebook board member and is somebody who regularly advises Zuckerberg on Facebook. Really smart, sharp guy worth about $2.7 billion. So he's not poor, but he also is very interesting in the fact that he was maybe one of only one in all of Silicon Valley to publicly endorse Donald Trump. And he did it early. He ended up being, if you remember this, during the primaries, he ended up being a delegate, a California delegate. So he went to Cleveland, and I saw him there when I went to the convention. And he ended up speaking, too. He had a pretty prime speaking spot. And he's not your typical Trump supporter is bigoted and probably pretty stupid, right? It doesn't really fit this guy at all because Thiel he's gay. So I know for our liberal friends, they like to play identity politics, so that's important, but definitely not your, typical close-minded person. He also is just, he's got a brilliant mind. He's a former chess prodigy. Which, by the way, if we're talking about the California governorship, which is purportedly talking to his friends about entertaining a run. That's the word. And they've got three sources. Politico ran the piece. Three sources that claim that he definitely is interested. And more importantly, as these things go, he's not denying that he's running. You always got to look for that because they, you know, there's very specific rules. You can't, you basically can't say you're running until you're running, because as soon as you say you're running, then all these rules apply as to, you know, well, it's complicated. But the point being is you don't, people that say that they're thinking about it, that's important. Those are the people to watch. And do you know how much it costs in California to run for governor? Any idea? Well, we're, you know, we're an expensive media state. I know this. You know, you want to buy advertising on Sam Nation. Well, you know, it's going to cost an arm and a leg. So to run for governor now, $100 million is kind of a nice round number to go with. It's a lot of dough. And so if, you know, when somebody has $2.7 billion in the piggy, that person saying, you know, I'm thinking about it, it's more serious because they can self-fund. So think about that too. Look, Teal, here, before you tell me that it's absolutely nuts, I'll tell you this. The state of the race right now in California is, as I said before, it's wide open. It's an anything goes situation. And I was, before this announcement came out, last week, I was talking to a good friend who, I can't embarrass him with disclosing too much information. Former elected official, you would recognize his name, and I would consider him a senior figure in the Republican Party. And I'm doing my own homework, because behind the scenes, it's more for me, not just about doing this program and my day job as an attorney, but I'm you know, I care about the state. I really do. And now that we've got Trump's in the White House, he's on the conveyor belt. You know, come Friday, it's going to be official. You know, they're going to, you know, do the little magic, you know, over him and ding, and he's going to be president. That's done. And now I'm already looking to the future, because this is what normal people do, that, you know, we don't get stuck in the moment. You got to think a few steps ahead, just like Teal thinks a few steps ahead. I'm no chess prodigy, but Teal is. And but so this is what I'm saying. You got to look to the future here. And I think that California is in play. And so when I was talking to my friend, I have my own names that I'm floating, people I know, people you would recognize that I've been talking to and trying to get them excited and get their creative juices flowing. But nevertheless, I'm talking to my friend and I was shocked. Let me tell you, the most surprising thing to me is that this senior figure in the Republican Party, very intelligent person, somebody who definitely understands and has a finger on, you know, thumb on the political, you know, vibe here in the state, basically given up on the whole Republican thing. This is how it came about. So in the people that are running right now, the California side, the Republican side of the race, there's really one big contender right now, besides before Teal announced or rumor of Teal announcing. Kevin Faulkner, you know, he's the mayor down in San Diego. He is talking to people. In fact, Politico just ran a story where he's already gone to Dick Riordan. Remember the old mayor, our former mayor of Los Angeles? So he's out there starting to go to people for support. And he went to my friend, and my friend agreed to support him. So this is a guy, the mayor down in San Diego, he's looking around. And do you know what I was told was a big selling point for Faulkner? Was that the mayor in San Diego is nonpartisan. So, you know, the idea that he could run as an independent. There are Republicans that think that the Republican brand is so damaged in California that there's no way, no how you can win with it. That the best way to win as a Republican is to not run as a Republican. And I, you know what? I totally disagree with it. Fundamentally. Because I think, well, yes, you have Republicans that are, the Republicans, it's a big word, it's a big party, and there's a lot of different shades of Republican. What ultimately matters a lot more than the label is who the person is that's running. Are they going to focus on the basics? Are they going to speak English, right? Common sense. Are they, you know, are they going to get stuck in a sea of sound bites? You know, who have we had? You know, Meg Whitman, Neil Kashkari. We've run, the Republican Party has run some duds. But if you talk to the people in the political establishment, they'll tell you, oh, Meg Whitman, oh, she was wonderful. Oh, she was so smart and she was so talented. And oh, we ran a woman. And oh, I mean, listen, you could run a three-legged poodle. If the poodle can string together a reasonable, cogent thought and express in simple, plain terms where we are and where we need to go and how we're going to fix our problems here in the state, the poodle will win. You get somebody who has, look, well, who are we as a state? You know, in spite of our enormous taxes, our dysfunctional government, our absolute terrible, I mean, we got the unions, the public sector unions just have us in a chokehold. We still are this great state of opportunity because California is a crucible of creative development. You know, we've got, and so what better than to have somebody come along who understands that, who's built businesses in California, who knows how terrible these businesses are. This is a problem. I mean, the people that go to, you know, who are in the legislature, and certainly you look at a guy like Governor Brown, who's basically worked for the government his whole life. These are not the kind of people that can solve problems that affect multi-billion dollar companies. They don't get it. They're just not qualified to even begin to understand it. And so, you know, yeah, I think that if somebody comes along that has a brain, is common sense, is, you know, not ideologically based, you know, not so steeped in well, these are the issues, and I've got the Republican Party stands for X, Y, and Z. Somebody has to come in and say, hey, you know, I am who I am. These are my opinions. And Thiel's one of these guys. The interviews with him are interesting. He's actually a pretty painfully shy person, which is something that is probably the one thing in the back of his mind where he really doesn't want to run. When you run for governor, it's a lot of exposure, a lot of exposure. And so for a private person, it's a tough thing. But you also have somebody who's able to really simply explain things. You know, it's exactly right. He did that piece with the New York Times. He sat down with the New York Times reporter a couple weeks ago in New York. And he did they did a quick Q&A session where they did rapid fire questions, and the way he handled it was very simple, and he was able to defend his support of Trump, which is a pretty tough thing to do when you're sitting down with a New York Times reporter. The way the piece was written, you could tell the reporter had sat down. She'd sat down with him to slam him a little bit. And he won her over with quick, you know, witty answers, with thoughtful answers. You know, she walked away liking him. You could tell it in the piece. And I don't think, trust me, I don't think the New York Times went in to sit with Trump's number one Silicon Valley guy to do a puff piece. And if there's anything to be said about running as a conservative or Republican or whatever you want to call it in California, you're going to run against a headwind. You're going to run against an establishment, not just a political establishment, but also, of course, the press. Because you're not going to get a lot of love from the LA Times. So what I want to get into, I'll tell you some of the people who are stacked up on the Democratic side, because there's a huge list, I have to tell you, because there is no incumbent. Because there's a wide open field, I'll tell you one thing that's true about what my Republican friend said that I think the Democrats are thinking as well. You know, there's so few names on the Republican side because I think Republicans are afraid to run in the state. But conversely, or I would say on the other hand, there are so many Democrats that are running because they all think there's a shoo-in as to be a Democrat. Yeah, I got the big D by my name. I'm in. When it comes to running in the election in California. But I'll tell you, there's a twist here. Because not that long ago, California did a little modification, courtesy of Abel Maldonado. And I'll explain this when we come back, because our elections aren't the way they were 10 years ago. And this could actually, you know, shake things up even more than they already are now. So I'll get into that. I'll give you a clue. Open primaries. When we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222, because the KABC phone lines are open.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. I want to hear from you if you've got ideas and thoughts on the race, anybody in particular. As we talk through these names, there's somebody that you like. I want to hear from you and why. 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. Let's go through the list and tell you who's in, because on the Republican side, no one is in. They're all just sniffing around. As I described earlier, there are specific rules. Once you declare that you're running, now you've got to keep track of everything, and you've got to make all sorts of declarations and money and all that. So it gets complicated. But on the Democratic side, so eager are our Democratic friends that three of them have already formally declared. Who are they? Gavin Newsom, the name that most people recognize, an early favorite. Yes, many people out there are already wringing their hands that he's going to be the next governor. Don't be too sure about this. Newsom has a pretty face, but as soon as there's any kind of deeper questioning, deeper thought that is being elicited from him, it's like Jerry Brown's train to nowhere. Okay, so. Don't count him. He's already measuring the drapes in the governor's mansion. But I don't see it. Now, speaking of other dummies that are running, there's Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, our hometown favorite. That's right, our favorite village idiot from Los Angeles. Every city has one. We just were stupid enough to elect him mayor. Actually, when I say we, I live in Orange County, so that was you guys that did that. I don't even know where to go with that. He is a certifiable idiot. Now, John Chung also is running. He's a nice man. He's probably among the Democrats the most business-friendly. He's more pragmatic, tends to be middle of the road. I think he was, the former treasurer? Anyway, and controller. Well, anyway, but he's a nice guy. He's kind of a colorless a candidate who's not going to get a lot of traction. But those three, Newsom, Chung, and Villaraigosa have all declared on the Democrat side. Now, also on the Democratic side, speaking of the answer to Peter Thiel, who is the Republican who's making some noise about running and a billionaire from Silicon Valley, there is another billionaire. And his name is Tom Steyer. And he's a hedge funder, got billions and I don't know. He's worth less than Thiel. So Thiel's got him beat. But once you're in the billions, you can still self-finance that race and pay the $100 million it costs to run for governor. So you got to take his name seriously. And he's on the board of NextGen. This guy gives to every single stupid liberal left-wing nut job cause there is. If it's got environment, if it's got, minority, if it's got, this guy's in it, guaranteed. So Tom Steyer. There's also Steve Wesley. This is not necessarily being reported in the news, but this is the talk in political circles. He's the current controller of California. He's making noise. And then In what is surely to be seen as an affront by Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, the village idiot from Los Angeles, we have his replacement, and that would be current mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti. Now, Garcetti, you know, he's... No, we wouldn't want him as governor, but he's definitely making some noise about running, and watch for Garcetti, because he's going to start to make moves soon, in my opinion. Now, that's a crowded field, because we're still a little ways out, and that's a lot of people that are declaring that they want to run. Now, let's talk about this open primary thing. We'll do it right when we come back, because I want to get into this, because the way the open primary works now in California since 2011 is it's no longer the Republicans pick their guy and the Democrats pick their guy, and then they go head-to-head in the general. Now, it's the top two vote-getters in the primary of any party. And I want to explain to you when we come back why that matters here and why it could actually be a good thing for a Republican to come along. All right? John Wolfe up with the news next. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Has anyone farted in your face lately? If so, you probably should sue them.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
You know, the reason that all these Republicans are fretting about the state of the governor's race and why they think that the Republican brand is toxic and they're encouraging Republicans behind the scenes to run as independents is because they're presupposing that Trump is going to be a dud in the next 2 years. They're all never Trumpers. And they're making a huge assumption. All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Oh, yeah, we want to hear from you. Call in if you've got ideas about the race, things you want to see, someone you want to see, maybe not on my list. Let me know. 800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. A lot of twos there. You know the number. Anyway, so what do we got? We got this open primary. I was just going to, you know, three Democrats have already, you know, thrown their hat in the ring. And then there's some others that are, you know, sending out smoke signals. So there's about eight or so on that list. A couple Republicans. You've got Kevin Faulkner down in San Diego, who's the mayor of San Diego, excuse me. And then also they've been talking about a lady, mayor of Fresno. She just left office now, and her name is Mayor Swearingen, and apparently she's been polling. You know, some of the early polling that they did, she came in third, but third isn't good enough. And this is exactly to my point about how this new open primary system thing works in California. I think most people don't understand it, people get confused because it doesn't work for the presidential race. Everybody, you know, it's different because that's a national race, this is about our statewide races. No longer do you vote as a registered Republican only for a Republican, and it doesn't mean that you as a registered. This is a misconception because people think that you now as a registered Republican can vote for a Democrat in the Democratic primary. You, as a registered voter, can vote for any candidate. And it's the top two candidates in the primary that advance to the next round. So you can end up in a very blue state, in a rich, blue, dark, beautiful, friendly, snowflake-friendly state like California, can end up with, you know, Loretta Sanchez running against Kamala Harris for Senate. And that's why I had many of you were calling and emailing me, you know, pulling your hair out, going, "What the? I vote in every election. I take my vote seriously. What do I do?" And it was a real conundrum. Trust me. So here's what happens. Whoever has the crowded field of candidates suffers the most. Because you have a natural, yes. You've got the swing voters, the independent voters, you know, the unicorns in the wild. Yes. But then, generally speaking, when you're not in a presidential year, you should look at the statistics. It's shocking. I mean, the number of people that vote in the primary, in a midterm elections, but even certainly in the primaries, low. The people that vote are the diehard political party people, which means you're going to get the Republicans who vote Republican and you're going to get the Democrats to vote Democrat. And that's why the chatter right now already is, by the way, all my, politically connected friends who are Republicans are all saying, we have to get behind one person. You got to get behind one person, Sam. Don't be bringing all these new names to the table. Don't do that. Got one person. We got to get behind him because we can't split the Republican vote. But that's what the Democrats are doing. Look at this. They got eight clowns. So, and one mental cripple. And speaking of Mayor Villaraigosa. So there, what's going to happen here is the Democratic vote in the primary is going to go, a bunch of different ways. And I think we got a good chance to get a Republican into the second round, especially if it's a good Republican. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you the qualities that we ought to be looking for in that candidate. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk
Radio
790 KABC. All right, Sam Rogowski here. It must be tough. Imagine you're Obama or if the Obama family. I mean, they've lived in the White House for 8 years. It's home. And apparently, not everybody is taking the move easily. They've got two dogs, the Obamas. Bo, is the first, officially the first dog of the family. And then Bo has a little brother, Sonny. And Sonny's 4 years old, a Portuguese water dog, for those of you who are pet lovers. Really, really cute. Only problem is that they had a friend over, the Obamas, an 18-year-old girl. She goes down to give Sonny a kiss. That's right. And by the way, if you saw Sonny, we're going to put up a picture of this on Insta. Yeah, look, this dog is adorable. I would kiss this dog myself. I can declare that. Even if I knew it was Obama's dog, I'd still kiss his dog, for sure. Well, here's what happened. Girl goes in for a kiss, and, Sonny being a little out of sorts with the moving vans and the beacons boxes, out in the hallway, he snaps and bites her right in the face. And if you look at this picture, as seen on TMZ, so it must be real, no fake news here, she's got a nasty gash under her eye and blood coming down her cheek. This is a millennial. This, by the way, is exhibit A for millennial here, because as blood is streaming down her face, she's taking a selfie. Okay. Look, I don't care if it's the Obamas or if it's that crazy, cat lady across the street. If somebody's domestic animal bites you on the face or bites you somewhere else, what do you do? You got to call Sweet James. He's the attorney we trust. And he will get you paid, taken care of, and make sure that the friendly dog owner, whether it doesn't matter, he could be president of the United States. He's going to make sure that that person pays, takes care of your medical bills, gets you handled and done. Now, I don't know. That's a good question. Would that be renter's insurance if you live at the White House? I don't know. I would think it's going to be the Obamas' personal insurance. I don't think the federal government is responsible for what the dog does. But if it's Obama, he'll find a way to let us pick up the tab, guaranteed. That's why you need Sweet James. Navigate that nonsense. How do you reach him? It's easy. And he's so friendly. He's a great guy to talk to. You gotta give him a call if you've got a problem. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. So, talking about here on Sam Nation, the governor's race here back home in California, and looking at this crowded field of candidates and seeing that because of the open primaries, where the top two vote getters, the top two, advance to the general election. And the primary, by the way, just so you know, it's coming up June 5th, 2018. So on June 5th, what is that? A year, 2 years. No, just a year from this June. Yeah, it's coming up. That's right. It's around the corner. Here's the thing. Because there's so many Democrats in the field, there's a real chance that that vote will be diluted in the primary and that that runner-up be a Republican candidate, because there's really very few people that have expressed interest, and I think that's going to be a narrower field. So here's the message that wins. Are you ready? Governor Brown cares more about the environment. He cares more about some obscure tadpole than he does about your job. Governor Brown has a drought of epic, according to him, epic proportion. And what does he do? Nothing. He basically calls a shaman, does a rain dance, and hopes for rain to come. It's the 21st century, and we're praying for rain. We need a politician. No, we need a problem solver that puts jobs somewhere in their top one or two priorities. That's what we need. We need to attract businesses. We can't keep losing companies to Nevada and to Texas and to Arizona. We gotta get somebody who gets it. I'll talk more about this when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. What is the difference between a mainstream Republican and a mainstream Democrat? They are both resistive to the changes.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And I am back behind the microphone tonight. I flew in just a few hours ago from Utah. I was up skiing with the family. Took my kids up to Deer Valley. I'm a skier. I hate snowboarders. Just kidding. If you snowboard, it's okay. But really, you should ski. So I'm up there, and I finally took my 3.5-year-old Ava. I took her up to ski for the very first time, and she did great, absolutely great. And that's if you've got kids and you see them. When you take a trip, and you do an annual trip, like we do an annual ski trip, and you have this opportunity to see year over year your kids grow and progress, and get better. So, for example, even though it was Ava's first year, for Daniel and Vera, they've done it years past, and I was so impressed by how well they did. They're making turns. Daniel's doing daring stuff, going in the trees, just doing great. And it's nice as a parent to see year over year your kid making progress. And, when we're talking about, we're talking about California, our state, we love this state, don't we? We don't want to be pushed out of the state. We don't want to move to Texas. We don't want to move to Arizona. We don't want to move to Utah, even though they've got great skiing. We want to stay here. This is our state. And wouldn't it be great if we could take a point in time every year and look and see, hey, we've made progress. We've added jobs. We've reduced some terrible legislation. We've cut some laws off the books altogether. But you know what's kind of depressing sometimes is we look year over year and it just keeps getting worse. And it's these same idiots running this place. So I want someone smart. I want someone who gets it, who's pragmatic, have common sense. Look, we got talking about the rain, right? We had a drought. The only thing that really that Governor Brown did was say, look at me, I shower once a week, which I think is disgusting. And the other thing, he goes, we need rain. But you know, the last person to invest in our water infrastructure in the state was his father. And that was like 10 billion years ago. So we gotta get real. We gotta get somebody who understands how to build, how to get things done. And I was sitting with somebody on the ski lift, you know, because you're always sharing a ski lift with different people when I was up in Utah, and talking, you know, politics are coming up because of the time of year. And somebody said to me, this was a guy from Argentina, says, well, you know what? He was talking about Trump. Politics don't translate into good governance. And I argued with him. I said, no, it does, because in business, okay, in business, if you're a business guy, you know how to lead people. You know how to organize people. You know how to direct them and get the best out of them. So business may not always translate into politics, but it can. And I think we need somebody in the state. This state has so much enterprise in it that we need somebody who understands it and gets it and can build on it. All right. We are back tomorrow, 7 p.m. See you then. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation.
News.
Talk, talk.
Evolve. 790. KABC. KABC. Los Angeles. Orange County. A Cumulus station.